The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition. And you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Gary Capewell, Craig Forsyth and Ross Briley in the studio. It's day three of Royal Ascot. Plenty of racing to come there, including the Gold Cup. We also have Ripon and Southwell in the afternoon, Leicester, Fosslass and Lingfield in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. Yeah, I'm absolutely in top form. Still got the hairs on the back of my neck standing after what was an absolutely unbelievable opening day of the Royal Meeting.
It was. It was a spectacular opening day. A few punters will be pretty happy with themselves afterwards as well, because the superstars shone on the first day, Pimmy.
They did indeed, and one or two of the others that were well supported did the business as well. And it was absolutely fabulous to see those bookies squirming, squealing in pain after the caning the punters gave them. Happy days for all those punters yesterday.
Yes, and one of the most popular winners will have been Kingman. He won the rematch with Knight of Thunder and confirmed himself to be probably the best miler we've got at the moment. He was impressive, wasn't he?
He was impressive. Stunning performance. A beautiful ride by the very young pilot. And I loved his gesture as he passed the line, to be honest. Because I thought it showed passion. It showed that, you know, this meant a lot to him. It showed that he had confidence in the horse, and the horse repaid his confidence yesterday. And a great training performance by John Gosden, who is still, for me, the master of his trade.
He is, and it was interesting to hear what John Gosden said after the race as well, because he was talking about the tactics in the race. Obviously, Knight of Thunder went out in front with Richard Hughes, and that wasn't necessarily expected before the race, but James Doyle stayed calm at the back of the field. He didn't panic, and when he pressed the button, the turn of foot from Kingman was breathtaking, wasn't it?
Oh, it was unbelievable, yeah. But again, tactically, Hughes, he was brilliant. He got beat, but he tried to win the race by trying to outwit the other guys. Fortunately, in John Gosden, Doyle had a great mentor, and he gave him confidence in the horse. He gave him confidence of how to ride the race. He said, don't panic. Just ride it as you want. You know you're on the best horse. You know you've got the speed. Ride him to do that. And to be fair to the young boy, he did it to perfection. Slightly went right-handed, didn't he, when he got to the front? But he didn't even have a stroke of the whip to encourage him to go forward yesterday. It's stunning performance.
It was. So Kingman was impressive. Let's talk about the one of the other Group 1 winners on the card, Soul Power. Richard Hughes played it very cool on him as well, didn't he?
Well, again, that was unbelievable. I mean, the speed he showed in that last half furlong was unbelievable. And again, Hughes at his supreme best. Confidence personified, wasn't he? And when he pushed that button, God, it was lightning, it was. Lightning. Wonderful performance by Soul Power. And, you know, again, Hughes, often when he rides like that and he gets beat, he's often chastised for it. But when it comes off like that, that was brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
He's a great horse to watch as well, Soul Power, because in a five furlong race, they're normally off the bridle pretty early. But he sits out there at the back, doesn't he? Still on the bridle, and then quickens unbelievably.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as they quite rightly said on Channel 4 yesterday, some of the pundits on there, often a British sprinter needs to come out the gate and go like lickety-split, whereas this fella, he just takes a toe off him, and then that last half furlong, the turn of foot's amazing.
It is.
Amazing.
The other Group 1 winner on the card was Toronado. An impressive training performance to get him winning on his reappearance. And that was one of the other winners for Richard Hughes on the card.
Again, a good performance. One or two, I thought, over-egged it as impressive and fabulous and all that. But I thought it was a very good performance. Again, Hughes supremely confident and rode it well. And obviously the horse had a bit of a breathing issue. They've had that sorted out in his absence. And he's come back as good as ever. So it was a great way to start the day. But for me, the highlight was the Queen winner.
Yeah, I was just going to move on to that next. The wow signal.
Yeah.
It was a wow performance, wasn't it?
Again, wonderful performance. Frankie, always on the front end sort of thing from what we thought was a negative draw in one. And, you know, that race has brought up some true champions in the past, and certainly don't feel that this fella could be anything else. They love him to bits at the yard, and he showed a great attitude, willingness. And again, he's come home fairly in his own time, hasn't he? He's not been too pushed along by Dettori to land the spoil. So, I mean, they must be absolutely thrilled to bits with that. And hopefully, you know, in long term, it's a good fillip for the yard that they're getting the support from the Arabs, and that, long may that continue now.
Yeah, hopefully so. Other winners on the card, we'll just mention those before we move on. Domination, winning the Ascot Stakes. Fran Berry's becoming a bit of a master in that race, isn't he?
Yes, indeed, yeah. And seen to good effect again yesterday was Fran. Again, it's always a little bit of a anti-climax once we've got those three Group 1s out the way. But even so, to get a winner at the Royal Meeting, fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, and Wesley Ward obviously comes over from America and targets the Royal Meeting, and he got his first winner on the board. Hootenanny running away with the Windsor Castle Stakes.
Absolutely hosed him, didn't he? And, well, the new owners knew what they were doing, didn't they?
Yes, they did, yeah.
Good move by them. And again, Wesley Ward knows what it takes to have Royal Ascot winners now. Yeah. And often they go lickety-split and catch me if you can.
Yeah, and with the comments that he might have some better ones to come later on in the week, he might be hard to keep an eye on.
Yeah, well, worth keeping an eye on Wesley Ward, that is for sure.
Mm. Anyway, that's day one. We'll have day two pretty shortly, and we're going to look ahead to day three now. So we'll get Pimmer's thoughts on day three of Royal Ascot in just a second.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then day three starts with the Norfolk Stakes, which is a Group 2 over 5 furlongs for the two-year-olds. Plenty of them coming into this unbeaten, Pimmers, or with a couple of wins behind them. And we're probably going to see the great war of Aidan O'Brien's up near the top of the betting, the fact that he's won both his starts so far. Do you see him as the one to beat, or is there something else in here?
Well, the thing about the great war is he's been very easy both times he's run. But again, just how good he is, we can't really tell from that. When you're a 1-9 shot, you'd expect to win handsomely, wouldn't you? As he did last time out on the Curragh. Whether he's just got the race experience now because of that easy success, he might just find wanting when push comes to shove. That could be something that I'd certainly worry about slightly. And I think there's possibly some others that are a little bit more streetwise and a bit more race-hardened that might just have that bit more edge on him. I thought the Richard Hannon runner, Belf Alget, was interesting. He's come good the last twice and did it really nicely at Epsom Downs, beating Ballymore Castle on that occasion by 2 lengths. But the one I'm going to side with is the Mark Johnson-trained Muckmal. Dane O'Neill rode him on debut. He then, for me, overcome big problems at Chester in the Lily Agnes. He was drawn right wide. He's shown plenty of dash to get across from that wide draw. He's done it really well. And for me, that will have learnt this horse an awful lot as well. You've got to get balance coming round that little tight turn at Chester. You've got to be fairly streetwise. He showed a good attitude that day. And I think possibly he could be the value for money in this opening Norfolk Stakes.
OK, Muckmal then could be a bit of value for money. I imagine he'll be somewhere near an each-way price as well, so shouldn't be too much harm done. Just one more to mention in there, to be determined for Wesley Ward. Won this race last year with no near never, and with his comments saying that he has better ones to come later on in the week. Would that be one to keep an eye on, Pimmy?
It could be. The only thing it was, it did go lickety-split, as you'd imagine, at Churchill Downs. That was only a 4 furlong race. And in the end, it's beaten 9 lengths, 3rd of 8. So this might, on what we've seen on the trace track, might not be one of his better ones just yet.
OK, so Muckmal for Pimmy in the 2.30, the Norfolk Stakes. The second race we're going to look at is the 3.45. That's the Ribblesdale Stakes, which is a Fillies Group 2 over a mile and a half. It's for three-year-olds. And again, plenty of winning form coming into this, Pimmy. Which ones do you like here?
Well, I think I'm going to go for a French winner of the Ribblesdale, and that's in the shape of a Vizara, who's trained by Roider Duprec. Simulion takes the mount. And, well, this filly lost her unbeaten record last time out, but she lost nothing in defeat for me in the Group 1 at Longchamp last time out. And I think the step up in trip is certainly going to suit her, and I think she's definitely got to be one on your shortlist for this Ribblesdale Stakes. Of the others, you've got an interesting one in Bracelet, who disappointed in the Guineas last time out behind Miss France. But if you're a forgiving sort, then you look back at her form, and she's certainly got some good form in the book that could well help her. And she's got the hood on tomorrow. And the other interesting one I thought was Bright Approach from the Gosden Yard. She finished third last time we saw her, Bright Approach. That was at Chester in a mile and three-year-old filly race. And I think she could possibly have a little bit more to offer as well, stepping up in trip tomorrow afternoon. So Bright Approach could be interesting over the mile and a half trip tomorrow.
Okay. I've got the betting here as well. The betting is on site as well at the moment, so if you do want to have a bet, you can already. Inchilla and Vizira are the 3-1 joint favourites. 8-1 for final score. Bright Approach, 9-1. 10-1 for Bracelet and Wonderstruck. 12-1 for Lustrous. 14-1 for Talmada and 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Bright Approach, 9-1. Pimmy, nice each way price.
Yeah, definitely a nice little bit of value there for the Gosden runner. We know his horse are in good form. And I suppose the connections of Inchilla will be hoping for a good run. She ran well in defeating the Oaks last time out, and everybody will be looking towards her to think, get the Oaks form boosted.
Okay, let's move on to the big race of the day, the 425, the Ascot Gold Cup. It's part of the British Champions Series, and it's a Group 1 over 2.5 miles. Again, betting on site for this race as well, and leading light, the 5-4 favourite. Brown Panther, 6-1 with Tacta Boitron. 7-1 for Estimate, last year's winner. Altano is 8-1, 14s for Royal Diamond and Pale Mimosa, 16s for Arzima and Simenon, and then 33-1 or bigger prices the rest. So a pretty short price favourite in this Aidan O'Brien's leading light. What do you make of the St. Ledger winner?
Well, he's a very, very nice horse, obviously. He's done nothing wrong in his career, and he steps up big style in trip, mile and sixth to St. Ledger, 2.5 miles tomorrow, so he's going into a little bit of unknown territory, but I'm sure they'll believe that he will stay the trip. But at that price, Mark, he's too short, isn't he? You know, there's a lot more value out there on offer rather than taking that 5-4 against him. So I think personally, if I was looking to have a bet, I'd be looking for a little bit more value for money than the favourite. Obviously, Estimate won it last year for the Queen and Sir Michael Stout. There's no reason why she can't run well again this year. She disappointed last time we saw her, but that's possibly after exertions in the Gold Cup. And again, she comes into the race fresh. She's sure to be very fit. Definitely would put her in the equation. And the other horse that I thought could be interesting is the Marco Botti runner? Yeah, Tacta Boitron. I thought that could be interesting. Got beat last time out when we saw it run at York behind Gospel Choir, but I thought that was a good enough run. Again, that trip of a mile and six might be seen in a better light tomorrow afternoon, stepping up in trip, and I thought that could be an interesting one. Tacta Boitron, I would imagine that's a bit of value, is it?
Tacta Boitron is currently 6-1.
6-1, it's a bit shorter than I thought it would be, actually.
Would you have concerns about the ground? It needs a bit of cut in the ground.
Well, again, we're not going to get that. I should imagine that with the forecast and everything else, it's going to dry out all the time. But I just thought stepping up in trip could well suit that one. And obviously, don't forget the German challenger, Altano, trained by Andreas Wohler. I mean, that's been in good form in its native Germany. And again, could come into the equation tomorrow and represent a bit of value.
Okay, so which one do you go come down on in the end then, Pimmy?
I'm going to go for the value, and I'm going to go with the Marco Botti runner, Tacta Boitron.
Okay. There is another race that we're going to just quickly get Pimmy's thoughts on here as well, the Britannia Stakes, the big heritage handicap over a mile. Plenty of runners in this, Pimmy, 30 runners. Just give us a quick clue towards that.
Well, gosh, shame only 30, innit? But of the 30, I'll just bear this in mind that in the last 7 winners, 4 of them have been over 20-1. So over 50% of the last 7 runnings of this race, 20-1 or bigger shot has landed the spoil. So that's certainly something to bear in mind. Hopefully, and I don't know what our odds compilers have come up with, but just tell me, what do they bet the field? Surely 5 or 6-1 the field.
Let me just check and see if they have priced it up. We're going 9-1 the field, Pimmy.
9-1 the field. That's more like it. Tell me what the favourites are.
Idea is 9-1.
That's the Sir Michael Stout runner, isn't it? Yeah.
10-1 for Horse de Combat. Zawan, 11-1. 12-1 for Born in Bombay. Magnus Maximus, 14s with Table Rock, First Flight and Belimbi and Mind Your Own Business. And then it's 16-1 for Chartez and 18s for Abbey Village and 20-1 or bigger prices the rest.
Well, that just tells you how wide open it is when it's 9-1 the field. But there's value there. If you fancy something, you can back it each way. Happy days. I'm going to take 2 off the field. Number 9, Order Combat. Readied winner at Newmarket last time out. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take number 5, Table Rock, for O'Brien and Joseph, who I think represents value. And you don't often see them having too many runners in handicaps.
No, you don't. That's right. And 10s and 14s respectively for those two. So a bit of value there. Right, let's just have a quick summary, Pimmy, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, so happy days on the, hopefully, the third day of the Royal Meeting in the opener. And I'm going to go for Muckmal for Mark Johnson and Paul Hannigan. In the Ribbersdale, I'm going to go for Vazira from the French camp and Christophe Suleiman. And in the Gold Cup, I'm taking tacked the Bruce on for a little bit of value. I think this favourite's too short, and I'd love to see Brown Panther win, just with it being the World Cup.
Yeah.
With Michael Owen. Whoa. We might have happy days in that winner's enclosure. And I think, to be perfectly honest, he's about the only footballer who's going to see success on Thursday.
Hopefully not Pimmy Hope.
Oh, I think so, buddy. I think so. Okay. And in the competitive Britannia Stakes, 30 of them going to post. Back each way, wide open field. I'm taking two against the field. Table Rock and also Order Combat.
Okay, good stuff, Pimmy. Thank you very much. Enjoy on Thursday. So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Gary Capewell, Craig Forsyth and Ross Briley in the studio. It's day three of Royal Ascot, plenty more to come from the Royal meeting. There's also Ripon and Southwell in the afternoon. Leicester, Fosslass and Lingfield will take us through the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.